Peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the reading that we just read from the Gospel of Matthew, especially these words from the 22nd verse. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after the other, "Is it I, Lord?" These are the words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed. We hear those words frequently in connection with what we call the words of institution, the words by which Jesus instituted the Holy Supper of his body and blood. But we don't often talk about that part of it, and I wonder what goes through your mind when you hear that part about the betrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ. On this Maundy Thursday, the day of Holy Week that commemorates the two great commands of Jesus, thus the meaning of the word Maundy, mandate to command, love one another as I have loved you, and also do this in remembrance of me. We dare not forget that also at that same time, Jesus predicted his betrayal. As he did that, they must have all begun to look around the room, perhaps at each other and then at him, and then say to him one after the other, "Is it I, Lord?" Some translated, "Surely not I, Lord." Not as a question, but as an astonished assertion. Jesus' words came as a verbal bombshell. I suspect that there was also a moment of shocked silence. One of these trusted disciples who had been with him these 3 years was a traitor. And Jesus knows who he is. And he knows he is going to be betrayed. Now, of course, we know he had Judas in mind. But let's remember that there were other warnings of betrayal that night as well to Peter, who would deny him 3 times, to the rest of them, and they would quickly fail to watch and pray with him and would flee into the night in terror rather than stand with him. And only one would stand beneath the cross with his mother, probably the beloved Apostle John. Oh, they all vowed that they would never deny him. But moments later, they would run in terror. "Surely not I, Lord." And to all of them, he could rightly say, "Yes, you, all of you." The night in which he was betrayed. Who else might be included in that betrayal? I really doubt that we would sell him out for 30 pieces of silver, probably not. And we wouldn't betray him, maybe, to bring him or any of his followers into trouble with the law, and most likely we probably wouldn't even have stood defiantly before others and said, "I don't know who he is." Maybe not. But then, there have been those times when we have compromised a little bit here and there with what we know he has taught us in order to gain some perhaps material advantage for ourselves. Or maybe we've withheld the truth a little bit, or even perpetrated outright falsehoods to gain something for ourselves at somebody else's expense. And what about those times when the words that came out of our mouths were clearly a violation of the second commandment, which forbids cursing, swearing, superstition, lying, and deceiving by his name? And what about all of those times when we have chosen to just sort of blend in with the corrupt and devious crowd rather than taking a clear stand for Jesus and for the truth of his word? So if not in actual words, at least in our deeds and in our lack of deeds, there have been times of denial, of betrayal. And we have fled from our Lord when we took flight from serving and loving and forgiving in his name. Is it I, Lord? Yes, it is you. To Judas, he said, you have said so. In other words, you are condemned in your own words. Well, what then did Jesus do? The one betrayed and denied and forsaken and misunderstood, the one who agonizes while they sleep away their opportunities. Once again, he shocked them all, and he did the unexpected, the surprising, even the revolutionary. He took the bread of the Passover, undoubtedly unleavened bread. He breaks it and he distributes it to them. And he says, take this and eat it. It is my body. He tells them, it's for you, for all of you. And after he'd given thanks, he lifts the cup containing the fruit of the vine, fermented wine, and he says to them, drink of it, all of you, because this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. With the words come also the command, do this, keep on doing this in remembrance of me. Now the words are clear, and they are very powerful in their meaning. This is my body, this is my blood. He doesn't say, this is sort of like my body, or it represents my body, or even that it's transformed or changed into my body. He says, this is my body. This is my blood. Somehow, in a supernatural and unique way, his body and blood are given in reality with the bread and the wine, and he makes it quite clear that we are to keep on doing this, as he says, in remembrance of me. And that, too, is far more than a mere memory. It is bringing everything that he has done in the past, the giving of his body and the shedding of his blood, and everything that that meant here into our present experience. Just as the Passover meal was reliving their deliverance from their bondage in Egypt, so also it is Jesus coming to us in the here and now with what he did for you and me in the past. He gave his body and blood on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. He says, for the many, that is, for everyone. He gives his body and blood with the bread and the wine to bring that forgiveness directly and personally to each one of us, to all of us, because he says, it is for you. It is the covenant. And in Luke's gospel, he adds the word new. It is the new covenant, the one that the prophet Jeremiah had spoken of thousands of years before. It consists of the forgiveness of sins and new life with God. Is it I, Lord? Yes. Here at this table of grace, he is saying, yes, it is you. It is to you that I pledge to forgive, to restore, to renew, to empower you to follow me, not only with peace and purpose, but with joy and celebration. It is not by mistake that we sometimes refer to the service of Holy Communion as the celebration of the Lord's Supper, and the pastor who is leading it as the celebrant. Because in the darkness of this night of betrayal and ignorance and denial comes the brightness of his forgiveness and eternal hope. Right here in the midst of our lives of inconstancy, hesitancy to proclaim and live him in the midst of opposition and unbelief, he comes to you and he says, this is for you. My body given for you. My blood shed for you for the remission of your sins. I forgive you. And here's the pledge of that. Is it I, Lord? Yes, I do betray him. But is it I, Lord? Yes, it is you that I forgive, and you are free to live a new life. There's nothing more powerful to bring about a changed and new life and to cause us to have courage in the face of opposition and hope in a world of despair and confidence in a sea of broken promises than the grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Martin Luther once said, "The Lord's Supper is the purest form of grace. There is power here that no amount of shaming or denunciation or condemning could ever produce. It is the power of His love, His unconquerable, sacrificing love for us, and a love that transforms our question, 'Is it I, Lord?' into a confession of confidence, 'Yes, I, Lord, forgiven by You and remade by Your grace. Your body and blood pledge that to me. Surely now, Lord, I can love You, and I can go for You, and I can live for You, and I can serve You. Because, as the Apostle Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave Himself for me.'" Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.